But Paul does that and explains the impact that that should have as we go about to serve God. In verses 3 through 8, Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." Let this mind, there's an attitude that Paul is talking about. Someone who does nothing through strife or vainglory has a certain attitude. Someone who is humble has a certain attitude. He says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. This is how Christ was. This was his disposition as he sought to do the will of God for the benefit of mankind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. From this passage, we have come to state from time to time that Jesus lived a self-emptied life. Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, means living a self-emptied life. Someone who resolves to stop living for themselves and start living for Christ, the one who died for them, lives a self-emptied life. Whatever it is that shaped my mind, whatever in the world shaped my mind and heart, established the kinds of goals and pursuits I wanted for myself, as I come to know and understand Christ, what I recognize is that I must reprioritize my life, reshape my heart. Instead of being motivated by the American dream, instead of being motivated by selfish ambition, hoping to climb a corporate ladder, and focusing upon worldly standards of success and happiness, I must learn better what God wants for me in the service of other people. That's the life that Christ lived. Christ did not come here as a king. Christ did not come here with earthly advantage. He was not born into wealth. He was not born into political power. He was born and raised in this little obscure town of Nazareth on top of a hill that had only one source of water all the way down at the bottom of the hill. No wonder nobody wanted to live there. It was a hard place to live. Jesus had no earthly advantage. That's humility. We talk about people who come from places like that as salt of the earth kind of people. We use terminology surrounding Christianity to describe people who are humble. That's no accident. Christians are supposed to humbly serve other people. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul simply says, by love, serve one another. Love. Love is what motivates service. You're going to have to sacrifice in order to serve. Sometimes people are unwilling to serve because they're too busy. They don't have the time. Well, if I serve you, then that means I'm going to have to forego whatever it is I was wanting to do or accomplish. Rather than promoting myself, I'm going to seek to promote the cause of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul does something that must have been nearly humiliating and embarrassing for him. Paul seeks to defend his honor among the church at Corinth. Paul had spent a year and a half laboring among the people at Corinth. And in spite of all of the effort he made there, people came along after he left and undermined his credibility. They came in to discredit him, to tell the church there, Paul really doesn't care about you. And people became persuaded by that. Paul, in the broader context, he reminds them of his time in Corinth. He says, when I came and labored among you, I didn't take any money from you. I mean, doesn't that say something about what's in my heart? What motivated the work I did in Corinth? He says, I labored with my hands. He worked as a tent maker in business with Priscilla and Aquila, making his own way so that he could help the church. In chapter 12, in verses 14 and 15, he makes this succinct yet profound statement about his motivation. What was his motivation and what continued to be his motivation? He says, "For I seek not yours, but you. And I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Paul said, I didn't come here thinking, well, what can I get from these people? What can these people do for me? How can these people elevate my reputation? Is there something I can get out of them? We live in a world of people motivated with that kind of thing. They look at the world and the people around them, the context in which they live, is how can I use this situation to help me get ahead? Paul said, that wasn't how I conducted myself among you. He says, I will verily gladly spend and be spent. He says, I will give everything I have to give to you. And when I feel as if I can't give anymore, I'll find it within me by the grace of God, and I'll give more without complaint, without hesitation or regret. The more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He's saying, the focus is not going to be on me. I am going to serve you. And the more attention and focus I give to you, God will be magnified. It wasn't about him or his ability or whatever he had to offer. He didn't care about his own reputation. That service, that selfless service. In 1 John chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18, hereby